your presence. That's where I want to be.
Good morning.
Open your Bibles, please, to Acts 16. We're going to continue today. I want to share, boy, we're going to share about the latter rain, revival, or a cult. We're going to talk, we talked last week about necromancy, and today we want to continue talking about so many different things. I can't even start. Let's just get going here. Acts 16, let's continue with this verse. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination. Now, this is not new. It's been mixed in, but Paul, because of his discernment, after many days, it didn't happen right away because these damsels were speaking truth, but it was a wrong spirit. So he rebuked them, and which brought her masters much gain by what? Soothsaying. Now, soothsaying is divination. Soothsayers predict the future, but it's not by the Lord. It's by another spirit. The spirit is in our churches today. We have to know what it is and come out from amongst us. And there's not enough preachers that are speaking this out. There's not enough preachers that want to call it because there's big money in this so-called prophelying over people. Soothsaying, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." That was true, wasn't it? So even though it's a spirit behind it, it's speaking words that it's true. This is why it's so hard to discern the mixture, because sometimes they speak truth and then sometimes they'll bring in their error. "This she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, in turn and said to the spirit, 'I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her.'" Notice that it was a spirit that foreknew, that was prophesying, that was foretelling. This is a soothsayer. "But Paul rebuked the wickedness that was disguised as Christianity." Today, everything is called Christian. There are so many things that are disguised as Christianity. And today we want to see, some of us have come from many different movements, and we're going to go back to where a lot of this started in the latter rain. Latter rain has been renounced by many churches back in the 40s, but it's not new, but it's coming under a new name. The New Apostolic Reformation, which claim that there is no such thing, but their new apostles and their prophets, which we've been talking a lot about. But apparently people aren't getting this. So we have to pray that people really see. And I think sometimes you have to take it layer by layer. And sometimes you have to repeat things. But we have to go to the roots. And some of the roots of history of Pentecostalism comes from this latter rain. So we have to see where the confusion came in. How did it come in? And you're going to be surprised to find out that soothsaying was also in the roots of some of this. So we're going to prove that today. The soothsayers, they predict the future. Today we'd call them prophets. They are called the seers. They like to tell people their futures. Now remember, God tells us to walk by faith. That means that we walk with Him. And we're not supposed to be seeking out people for words. And now we have people that give you a word for this and give you a word for that. You better be careful, because they could be very much evolved to be a soothsayer. We call it a word of knowledge. Today we call it a word of knowledge. Back in their day, Deuteronomy 18, the occult is forbidden. There is no way we are supposed to mix. God hates a mixture, and He hates strange fire. Strange fire, we're going to talk about that for a minute. Strange fire is not new. It's always been in the Bible. God's been against it. What does strange fire mean? It means something God would not put His stamp of approval on. Strange doctrines, strange experiences, strange practices. What does the word strange mean? It means to turn aside, to false worship. Fleshly hype is strange fire. We have strange fire now in music. We have strange fire where people are getting hyped. And remember, we come back to God wants to be worshiped. We're supposed to be worshiping Him. And now we have entertainment in the place of worship. so it becomes fleshly hype. And the two guys in the Bible, Nadab and Abihu, decided they could pick up fire from another source. They thought God wouldn't notice or care. They brought in strange fire. And what happened? The fire devoured them and they died. We need to get the fear of God back in the church and not add to or take away from what he's telling us and what he said in his word. These extra biblical revelations always lead you into strange fire. Always lead you into strange fire. Now, last week, I shared about the civil war that's been prophesied by these apostles that's coming to the church, and I'm only going to say a couple highlights from that. They say the war is going to be waged, and it's going to be vicious, and it's going to center around moving in the realm of the Spirit. He sees great criticism coming upon anyone who claims to see angels or see the Lord or visit heaven or to talk to people who are in heaven. In other words, they're saying the Lord said there's coming a civil war. In other words, if you resist talking to angels, going to heaven, and all these new revelations, there's something wrong with you. You're the old, and the news coming in is going to cause a split. Now remember the whole Alice Bailey thing. What do they have to use? The mega churches, they have to use the church to break aside basic Christian doctrines. This is happening as we speak. So basically here, they're saying if you come against it, you'll be cursed. Watch out for whenever people say, you're the old wineskin, you'll be cursed. We're going to share another thing where someone said, if you're over 61 and you resist this new move of God, you'll be left behind. You're not going to be blessed. You're this, you're that. Why is that? Because most of the people that age and over get this. They get that this is worshiping angels. It's a new revelation. They get it. But the young people are the target. Now in John 10:10, it says the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. This is actually a parable about false teachers, hirelings. Jesus is talking about the good shepherd. We've always said, oh, this is the devil who comes, steals, kills, and destroys, which he does. But in context, he's talking about false shepherds. He's saying they will come. They will come in his name. They are hirelings. And they're going to come in what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And if you know anything about the false prophets and the false teachings, that's what they do. The first thing they do is steal your money. The pyramid stuff to get your money. Now, I believe in giving, but we're not to be cursed. We're not to be afraid of being cursed. We're supposed to give as we purpose in our heart and give cheerfully. And I want to encourage all of you people on YouTube. Some of you went to the other ditch. You've stopped everything because you've been abused. We can't do that. We've got to stay in the Bible, in the middle of the road. And if you can't, I'm not going to go in there. Both ditches. Anyway, 2 Peter 2, 17 through 19, you can read that later, it talks about these preachers. All through the Bible, it talks about false teachers. What are they? They are wells without water. What does that mean? There's no substance to them. They promise you stuff. They promise you liberty. They promise you false promises. These are scams. And why is it so important? God does not want his people being stolen from, being lied to, and dying before their time because they were taught you have to have faith in your faith, and it didn't even work for these preachers. We've already talked about a lot of these things that have went behind closed doors. But they have promises of breakthrough, promises of healing, transfer of wealth, supernatural encounters. They promise an encounter, but what really happens? They deliver an emotional experience or a kundalini or a deceiving spirit. People are now being taught to access heavenly portals. Basically, you can go back to Harry Potter and his little portals. And Christians don't have any enough discernment to realize this is 101 into witchcraft. This is brought in churches, in schools, all over the place. And now they're selling makeup with witchcraft kits. Did you guys see that coming out? They're taught how to access heavenly portals. We're seeing a major revival of witchcraft even in the world. Shifting of atmospheres to perform greater miracles than Jesus did. Of course, for money. And what are they doing? They're making merchandise of you. False teachers. These shipwrecked Christians are decreeing and declaring so-called things into existence with no results. The false prophets. Now let's look at this verse. This is very good for us to know. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18. And now we're going to start taking off. That was all review. Let no man beguile you, okay? Let no man distract you of your reward in a voluntary humility and what? Worshiping of angels. This is a big part of what's happening in the so-called prophetic move, the supernatural schools of ministry. Angels now come and deliver messages. We have to go off the map because the map actually is the Bible, but we have to go beyond because now the Lord speaks to us directly. This is what they're saying. Worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen. We are not to be going out into portals and all these different things. What does it say? They're intruding. You're going past the biblical boundaries. Deuteronomy 18, these things are forbidden for God's people. Now we have a mixture. We have strange fire in our midst. But he said, they're worshiping angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by what? His fleshly mind. And when you try to tell these people these teachings are off, boy, you face pride because they, after all, think they know the word. But the problem is they only know a few scriptures. They haven't studied things in context. This is a hard battle we're fighting with people to see this right now. Let me see, where am I at? Okay, so today we're going to talk again. I've shared this once before about the latter rain and about William Branham. And why am I bringing this up? Because they are saying the mantle of William Branham was so so great and so strong that just not one person could even handle this anointing. But it's going to come on the whole body of Christ. Now, we're going to share some things that I have not shared last time that I just learned myself about this so-called anointing. And I would say, do you really want your kids to have this anointing? Because they're all going to be told in these supernatural schools of ministry, in any prophetic movement, this is who we are modeling ourselves after. And so if you just think that he's a man that had a mantle and he was really a great sign and wonders healer, you've been brainwashed already like I was. Because as I share facts with you, I'm not into hearing rumors. I take this from facts, from his books, from people that knew him, the people that were there, because they have the Branhamites even today that are worshiping him. Did you know that? And this is going to be seen, I believe, even more so in the coming future because they're calling for it now. And I'm going to show you about all this. Beware. So William Branham, he says that, of course, first of all, they're saying that the power is in the signs and the wonders, okay? Well, the Bible says the power is in the gospel. Right away, they're looking outwardly for signs and demonstrations to get people saved, saying that they are entitled to have an encounter. Well, Romans 1:16 says the power of God for salvation is in the Bible to everyone who believes. And in Luke 16, the rich man in Hades, what did he want to do? He wanted something miraculous. Bring someone from the dead so that they would believe. That he doesn't want them to come where he was. And what did they say? Nope. If they didn't hear Moses and the prophets, they won't be convinced by someone if they should rise from the dead. So this is a thing they're saying. People are, the old prophets are coming now and visiting them and giving them words. Let me go into this now. The latter rain revival, the latter rain teachings include, now this you might surprise you, and I only listed a few, there's several more, but the latter rain teachings include the kingdom now, and that means they're bringing heaven to earth. We believe the kingdom, the Bible says kingdom come. When we get saved, yes, we're born again, but we're not trying to make this earth heaven. They're trying to say that the heaven is coming on earth, that there's not going to be any sickness. Well, how many know that's a lie? That there's not going to be disease. There's not going to be all this stuff because these manifested sons of God are here now and they're going to cleanse all evil. The more and more you study about this latter rain, you see how demonic it really is. Dominionism is part of this. The seven mountains, the signs and wonders, restoring of the apostles and prophets. And I'm here to tell you, don't give me a title. I'm just a believer. We were raised in the Word of Faith. My email actually says, Pastor at Roberta, I am not nothing, okay? I believe. I don't even want to be called, and these people know that. Even though I have my doctorate's degrees and all that, it means nothing. Paul says it's garbage. We just tell the truth in these end times. Don't get stuck on these little, I've come out a lot of this, we were finding out a lot of this stuff was, it's the title, it's who you are, and it sets you above everyone else. No, we're servants. We're pilgrims. We're passing through. We are nothing. He is everything. So anyway, restoring of apostles and the prophets, actually the whole fivefold ministry. Everyone's so hung up on titles. Jubilee, Feast of Tabernacles. This is latter rain. Joel's army and ecumenicalism. This was the latter rain originally brought in all the different religions. And everyone came to hear just the signs and wonders and get words of knowledge. Ecumenicalism, what is that? All the religions join together for revival. Revival is also a latter rain teaching. We've been talking to you, there is no such thing as the end time revival. There's going to be an end time falling away. Territorial warfare is part of latter rain. Just to name a few, these are add-ons. The Bible plus, Jesus plus, add-ons. What is this? It's Gnosticism. I have a teaching on Gnosticism. It's the modern form of mystics or seers. Spiritual elite possessed hidden knowledge. This is Gnosticism for you that forgot what it was. That these elites have hidden knowledge, secret knowledge. They believe that angels, dreams, visions, experiences overruled the Bible. So the Gnostics were always coming against the Bible. They were always wanting to worship angels. Today we have it. Now you have an angel for everything. You command your angels. You decree and declare your angels. That's not true. We can't do that. We don't have the authority to do that. God has the authority to do that. So all this new authority we so-called have. So these personal or their personal revelations, spiritual experiences, private interpretations of Scripture is Gnosticism. We now have a revival of Gnosticism. Through angels, trips to heaven. Passion Bible is a new apostolic Bible. What is that? It's all about visitations. It's all about angels. It's also taking and watering down scriptures. I'm just appalled at how many preachers are using this from their pulpits, especially the young people. This is their Bible. And you need to find out the roots. Go online and just look. Passion Exposed. The Passion Bible Exposed. And you'll see articles there. So dump the carnal stuff, they say. Dump the carnal stuff. Which is the carnal stuff? Doctrine. And listen to what the Spirit is saying. Well, don't we all want to hear what the Spirit is saying? Forget about Jesus. We now have the manifested sons of God, or the God-men. This is latter rain. God-men. As they establish the kingdom of God on earth, like the New Age movement, it exalts man. These movements exalt man, and they what? They put down God. And it establishes what? This is all coming into the new world order. Now, if you've been watching the news, you're seeing how the Pope is calling for this right now, May 14th, 2020. He's calling for all religions to come together. This is what we've been preaching on for 4 years. This is happening in our time, where they want all, and I'm very interested to see who the charismatic, I say that with bunny ears, the Pentecostals are that go sign this document, because you're going to see who our betrayers are. Does that make sense? To infiltrate, this is what's happened in the latter rain movement, to infiltrate, and this is all by design, it's part of Alice Bailey, all these other people, a branch of Pentecostalism. The strange fire in the mixture is what a lot of us have come up out of. To shatter what? Basic Bible doctrines. Okay, let's look at this latter rain. The latter rain, end time revival of Gnosticism. Like Simon the Sorcerer, we now have a lust, and use that word, lust for extra biblical knowledge. Lust. Lust for experiences, a lust for revelation. Teachers are saying we must go off the map. This prophetic movement, here's the key, tell their students and followers that they must study the life of William Branham and ask for his mantle. Go to his grave. Necromancy, suck from his bones. This is going back to the whole dead thing. His beliefs, again, I'm going to kind of share with you now some facts and go into this. His beliefs that God wrote three Bibles. William Branham believed, you can read it through all of his writings, that God had three Bibles. The Bible, the Zodiac, and the pyramids. And his tombstone is a pyramid. In 1946, an angel visited Branham and ignited what we call, write this down, the voice of healing, revival. God is doing a new thing, unity over doctrine, ecumenical unity with all religions. What is this? Everyone say strange fire. God is not approving of this. This is a man-made strange fire movement. It is the latter rain doctrine that William Branham taught that the Pentecostals accepted and still cause problems in the church today. You can't be accepted as a prophet in almost any circle unless you give William Branham kudos. That's why we have to study this, and you have to know for yourself. Listen to this message over and over again with these facts I'm going to share with you so that someone coming to you, you yourself have enough information that you can make them question some of the things they've been taught. Latter rain from the beginning. It was off from the beginning. A lot of people say, well, William Branham got off later in life. He tried to teach things. No, he just got exposed so much at the end, they had to say he is a false prophet. From the beginning, he had spirits talking to him. He came from an occult family. His supernatural powers were well known even by fortune tellers. They say, wow, you have powers. Okay, now we're talking about soothsaying. We're talking about divination. We're talking about the mixture. We're talking about strange fire that's in the Pentecostal movement even to this day. Okay? So this Pentecostal movement, there is this mixture, had doctrinal heresy, exaggeration, deception, and soothsaying, which they often call the word of knowledge. The result, confusion, error, deception, and shipwrecks. A movement which claims to be full gospel, but is full of false teaching and false healings and soothsaying, is to be rejected. And is a result of the harlot, apostate, one world church. The Gnostics, those who lust for extra biblical knowledge, experiences, and revelations. We need to be content with the Bible, get back to the basics of the Bible, be thankful for the truth that's in the Bible. Quit trying to seek out extra prophets, big movements. All the movements we've been in, we're coming out of, because they're trying to get you to follow a man in his latest vision. They value what they experienced and what they learned from angels. And this you'll find out through the whole life of William Branham, about his angels and dreams over Scripture. They put down the Bible as God speaks directly to them. This is Gnosticism, where the Gnostics, what do? They worshiped angels. They worshiped angels. We're seeing this again. Now here's some facts on the mantle of William Branham. Branham is being proclaimed to be the greatest prophet that ever lived. Some excuse his bad teachings, but they say he was a prophet with the word of knowledge and healing like none else. He taught, number one, the serpent seed doctrine. He taught that Cain was the product of Eve having sex with the snake in the garden. This is called the serpent seed doctrine. He degraded and ridiculed women. He describes women as not worth a good clean bullet to shoot her. That's taken from his life story. He bragged. He went 20 years without spending a wedding anniversary with his wife, but he spent it with men hunting. I won't go into you what kind of men those were. He claimed Satan was the designer of the female. Satan was the designer of the female, and they were lesser creatures than animals. Quote, there is no hog, no dog, or no other animal designed like her, or can stoop as low as she can stoop. You may question me about Satan being her designer, but that's the truth. Satan designed her. He still does it. More quotes. William Branham proclaimed that Jezebel of the Old Testament was fed to the dogs for wearing makeup. See, we have a few dogs here today. Any woman seen as wearing cosmetics were referred to him as dog meat. So if you see a woman, he said, all painted up, just say, howdy doody, Miss Dog Meat. Would you want your son to have a mantle that hates women? By her beauty and her sex control, he says, her shape that was given to her by Satan. This makes me angry because we were taught William Branham was such a man of God. You got to dig a little deeper. She said that her shape was given to her by Satan, the byproduct that Satan did. She is sent to deceive God, sons of God. When a woman gets out of the kitchen, she's out of her place. That's right. That's where she belongs. Other facts about William Branham. He denied hell was eternal. He denied the Trinity. Again, he said that God wrote three Bibles, scriptures, the Zodiac, the pyramids. Going beyond the Bible, he went into the occult. He taught, listen to this, that unborn children are not alive till their first breath. This is all a sermon. He taught that nature was God. We're seeing that again, aren't we? They're teaching that nature, God has everything, everything. There's no secular, there's no Christian, there's no everything. That nature was God. He prophesied the end of ages was to be 1977. Do you think he missed it by a few years? Oh, these prophets now say William Branham never missed it. He was so accurate in his word of knowledge. Guess he missed it. 1977 has come and gone. He prophesied the end of ages was to be 1977, that women cutting her hair was grounds for divorce. Do you think he added on a few rules? As his pyramid tombstone indicates, William Branham was thought to be the angel to the Church of Laodicea, the end time church. During his healing services, he would fall into a trance and his angel would work through him. But it's all based in latter rain doctrine. In the book, A Man Sent from God, by Gordon Lindsay, founder of Christ for the Nations, many were introduced to William Branham. Those books have also went bye-bye. I had all those books. Branham's heresy was obvious at the end. It was always there. It just got exposed more at the end. But his teachings were always off. And everybody forgot his doctrine. They just came to see his angel move. Trust me, we are going to see this again. And they are going to call it a revival and they're going to call it Christian. He was exposed to the occult through his parents. As he met fortune tellers, they even told him he was influenced by supernatural powers. He gives all his praise to his angel. That should right there be a red flag. We don't give praise and glory to angels. Why? Colossians 2:18, worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. The worshiping of angels. We are in a day now where people are worshiping angels. Buried under a pyramid-shaped tombstone, showing his influences in the occult. Also, secret societies. Now young ministers go to his grave to suck off his anointing and his mantle, all wanting to be like him and saying he's a forerunner of the bridal revival. Beware of the, and I've always liked remnant, but it's like these people are using these words too. Beware of the bridal revival and what they call it from John 14:12. Of course, they use scripture, a greater works generation. Greater works than Jesus, greater works than Paul, greater works than all this. And what do? They forget being born again. They forget leading people to the Lord. They forget the most important thing because this earth is temporal and eternity is a long time. Right? Now, in closing, I just want to give you a couple things that I did share last time that some of you people didn't hear. But this is from the desk of Steve Schultz, who is the Elijah List, which I actually used to follow. I say humbly, embarrassing, and repentant. He said this. This is a great word about the Lord bringing back the anointing, which is on William Branham, which is from a guy that just exposed Todd Bentley. He worked for him, but this guy also believes in pretty much similar things. This is a great word, and I'll share part of it with you, about the Lord bringing back the anointing that was on William Branham. Only this time the anointing is not for only one man, but for the masses, obedient friends of God. Even that word friends is bothering me because they bring God down like he's your papa, he's your dada, he's your, you know, you can boss him around, you can tell. Where's the fear? Where's that reverence? Go read Revelations 11:18 that talks about God's coming back and to reward those that fear him, but he's also going to destroy those that destroy the earth. Look up geoengineering. Check out the Georgia guide stunts. Do a little research on your own to see that we're coming into a day where people are trying to destroy the earth. Guess what? There's nothing we can do about it, but God will. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. Certainly into many hundreds or thousands, this gift is going to be poured out. Thousands of people are going to want this William Branham anointing. So it can be further spread throughout the globe. This is their plan. Yet this dream comes with a warning. Now we get the warning. Always a warning. Woe to you that are 61 years and older. That possibly the leaders of any age. But as with any new strange work. Strange. Yeah, we just talked about strange, didn't we? Strange. Works of God, those who were in a previous move are nearly always at least tempted to label God's next move as being from the devil himself. So they cover themselves and they actually give you a reverse psychology. This is a warning not to do that quickly, but to patiently watch, listen, pray, and discern if God might actually be demonstrating the next chapter in the awakening of his body on the face of the earth. We do need to wake up and watch and discern this stuff. So this was the prophecy that William Branham's coat of arms is being passed. The Lord, and I'm just going through parts of it, the Lord is currently passing a very precious coat of arms to the current rising glory generation right now. In a series of visions, I was taken through heavenly places, which is common of all these prophets. They're always going to heaven. And he said, the Lord told me many things. He said, I'm passing. Boy, be careful when you say the Lord's passing this coat of arms. When we found out what this coat of arms really was, I am passing the coat of arms which William Branham wore. The Lord told me that he would release wonder-working gifts through men and women's hands in this season, just as William Branham was gifted not only in the visions of God, but in his hands. God is passing forth a heritage in the spirit this year here in America, and it's on the order of William Branham. It will appear again on the scene in America, freshly clad on a new company of wonder workers who will begin to move throughout this land this year. As God put the rod of God in Moses' hand and told him to go and work wonders in Egypt, so is God now putting wonders in the hands of these dread champions who are emerging on the scene in the order of William Branham. I want to go after the Jesus Christ, not the William Branhams. How about you? Branham was commissioned in 1946 through a supernatural experience, they say, in God. The gift of visions. He could discern the secrets of people's heart. And he closes again with a word of warning to leaders. They always have to do this. They always try to put fear on you. The Lord would say, do not be narrow-minded in your approach to revival and moves of God, because you stand in the chance of not being used. Thank you. I think I'll pass. In this next move, you stand the chance of allowing the enemy to harden your heart to the move if you're not careful. Be very careful in this season what you choose to curse with your mouth, calling the move of God of the devil. For this even the Pharisees did. Of course, now you're a Pharisee because you want to test and try and discern. You want to follow the true Jesus. You're a Pharisee now. In Jesus' day, they said this of him, and they were standing in the front of the greatest manifestations of God to ever visit the truth. It's not always easy to tell what is of God and what is not of God. Yes, it is. The Bible tells us we can discern what is of him and what is not of him. Don't be quick to falsely judge this next move. Humble yourselves, my leaders, the Lord would say, and patiently judge the things of God in this next season, especially as it pertains to the movements in the church. You know what these movements are? Ecumenical. Guess what these movements are? Who's behind it? The Pope is there, and the Pulse is there, and YWAM is there. All these movements are all uniting us back to Rome. The mysteries of God are not given to them that will rush to judgment. You're not going to get this revelation. It's given to the humble to know the mysteries of God. And then, of course, he talks about how he submits to the ministry of Todd Bentley. Okay, and he's also the one that exposed him a couple months ago. Okay, facts, just no opinion. Okay, the last thing I want to share, some famous preachers that we would say, I don't even want to mention their names anymore because I'm still checking a lot of these people. But they warn about the Williams Branham anointing mantle. Years ago, William Branham told his interpreter, Pastor Ruff, if an angel does not give the sign, I cannot heal. Ruff noticed several features of spiritualism in the work of Branham and therefore stopped working with him. These angels of whom Branham spoke are evil spirits masquerading as angels of light. As in many areas of the occult, we are here reminded that the devil appears as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14. Another evidence is the fact that Branham was unable to perform cures when faced with born-again Christians who had committed themselves to the protection of Christ. In the case of Branham, I have experienced this myself. When he spoke in these meetings, there were several believers among the audience, including myself, who prayed along these lines. Lord, if this man's powers are from you, then bless and use him. But if he is healing, if the gifts are not from you, then hinder him. The result, on both occasions, Branham said from the platform, there are disturbing powers here. I can do nothing. That was in a magazine, Occult ABC, 1978, page 235. Even one of his closest associates, Alfred Pohl, notes that his healings were often brief. This is the other thing. You can proclaim a lot of things, but where's the proof? He said his healings were often brief and illusionary. Time and time again, people died weeks after apparent healings, for which Branham was received huge thank gifts, helped by the fact he didn't even have to demonstrate healing. Often he only promised, you'll feel better in 3 days. Well, where's he after 3 days? Long gone. At which the sick person of their relatives rejoiced and paid up. You can't buy healings. Now remember, this is touchy with me because my grandmother brought two of my aunts to go see these healers and they died of cancer. And she said, don't fall for this scam. I was just a little kid and I didn't even know who she was talking about. But this, a lot of people, when they're desperate, she was desperate because her two daughters were dying of cancer and they bring them to any kind of hope they can get and they died. You can't pay money for healing. Time and time again, they died weeks after apparent healings for which Branham was receiving huge thanks gift, helped by the fact he didn't even have to demonstrate healing, often only promised, you will feel better in 3 days, at which the sick person of their relatives rejoiced and paid up, even if healing didn't occur, and then death eventually happened a few weeks later. Preachers started to warn us about young bucks to have nothing to do with any so-called prophetic ministers or ministry who say they have the mantle of William Branham transferred on them. Warning, warning, warning. No matter how many signs and wonders are evident, we are not to follow signs and wonders. Beware of all those that promote him. I want to say that again. Beware of anyone that's promoting the ministry of the mantle of William Branham. It's going to be huge, I believe, in this next season. They're calling for it now. A body of believers will emerge and embody the living word. They're calling it the living word. A lot of the living words I've seen aren't too living. Churches. The signs and wonders will release a bridal revival, a greater works generation. Greater works than what? Beware when people lust after signs and wonders. Also do your own research on the latter rain revival and all of the men that were in it from reputable sources that show that a lot of these signs and wonders were mixed with strange fire. God is not in strange fire. Amen. Oh, Father, we thank you for the word. I just pray you just open all of our eyes to not be deceived in this hour of so-called men in mantles and going after things, lusting after experiences, that we study to show ourselves approved. You have told us to beware of the false prophets. Even in the Bible, all through it, you have shown us. You said the enemy's coming to steal, kill, and to destroy through false ministers. So we thank you for the truth. We thank you, Father God, that we're on our way to heaven. We just want a good journey, that we aren't deceived along the way. Even though trials and things happen, these prophets say they're new apostles. We just thank you for the true apostles that paid a price. Some of them, they all died terrible deaths. These prophets don't even go through hardly any trials. They're so, help us, Lord. Do you want to go there? We just pray, Father, that we stay with the true word of God and we are not deceived by strange fire in these end days. Everyone said?
Amen. We just want to share a quick message with our YouTube audience. First, we want to thank you for being here. We know that your time is valuable, and we don't take it lightly that you choose to join us each week. We really appreciate that. If you have found our messages helpful, we would ask you to please click like and share these messages on your social media to help get the truth out. We also just want to introduce that we're a small fellowship of believers here that want to bring people back to the truth of God's word and follow the real Jesus. We do life together, and we see you as our extended church family, and we would love to be able to do life with you too. We would invite you to connect with us on our private Facebook group. You can find a link for that below in the description, or you can search for us on Facebook by looking for LIHPC Online Church Fellowship. Please find us there and send us a message that you'd like to become a member, and we look forward to connecting with you. Many of you have taken time to write letters or send emails. We find that a great encouragement and a blessing, and we thank you. We really look forward to getting to know you better online as well. Lastly, if you see us as part of your church family and you would like to support our ministry, we have a link below in the description that you can click to donate to our ministry. You'll also find a link for that on our private Facebook group. Or you can go to our church website, which is livinginhispresence.org, and click Give up at the top. We appreciate your support and donations, and we just thank you very much for being here and being a part of our church family.
You are the fire that burns within my heart.